Chapter 14. And then, suddenly, light broke through the darkness. The light shone in Ray's face, the bright, white halogen light.
"What's going on?" Josh asked in a high-pitched, nervous voice. "Amanda, what's happening?"
Ray cried out and dropped back to the ground.
"Turn that off! Turn it off!" he screeched, his voice a shrill whisper, like wind through a broken window pane.
But Josh held the bright beam of light on Ray.
"What's going on? What are you doing?"
I could breathe again. As I stared into the light, I struggled to stop my heart from pounding so hard. Ray moved his arms to shield himself from the light, but I could see what was happening to him. The light had already done its damage. Ray's skin seemed to be melting. His whole face sagged, then fell, dropping off his skull. I stared into the circle of white light, unable to look away, as Ray's skin folded and drooped and melted away. As the bone underneath was revealed, his eyeballs rolled out of their sockets and fell silently to the ground. Josh, frozen in horror, somehow held the bright light steady, and we both stared at the grinning skull, its dark crater staring back at us.
"Oh!"
I shrieked as Ray took a step toward me. But then I realized that Ray wasn't walking. He was falling. I jumped aside as he crumpled to the ground and gasped as his skull hit the top of the marble gravestone and cracked open with a sickening splat.
"Come on," Josh shouted. "Amanda, come on."
He grabbed my hand and tried to pull me away. But I couldn't stop staring down at Ray, now a pile of bones inside a puddle of crumpled clothes.
"Amanda, come on."
Then, before I even realized it, I was running beside Josh as fast as I could down the long row of graves toward the street. The light flashed against the blur of gravestones as we ran, slipping on the soft, dew-covered grass, gasping in the still, hot air.
"We've got to tell Mom and Dad. Got to get away from here," I cried.
They won't believe it,"
Josh said as we reached the street. We kept running, our sneakers thudding hard against the pavement.
"I'm not sure I believe it myself."
"They've got to believe us," I told him. "If they don't, we'll drag them out of the house."
The white beam of light pointed the way as we ran through the dark, silent streets. There were no streetlights, no lights on in the windows of the houses we passed, no car headlights. Such a dark world we had entered. And now it was time to get out. We ran the rest of the way home. I kept looking back to see if we were being followed, but I didn't see anyone. The neighborhood was still and empty. I had a sharp pain in my side as we reached home, but I forced myself to keep running up the gravel driveway with its thick blanket of dead leaves and onto the front porch. I pushed open the door and both Josh and I started to scream, "Mom, Dad, where are you?" Silence. We ran into the living room. The lights were all off. "Mom, Dad, are you here?" "Please be here," I thought, my heart racing, the pain in my side still sharp. "Please be here." We searched the house. They weren't home.
"The party," Josh suddenly remembered. "Can they still be at that party?"
We were standing in the living room, both of us breathing hard. The pain in my side had let up just a bit. I had turned on all the lights, but the room still felt gloomy and menacing. I glanced at the clock on the mantel. Nearly 2 in the morning. "They should be home by now," I said, my voice shaky and weak.
"Where did they go? Did they leave a number?"
Josh was already on his way to the kitchen. I followed him, turning on lights as we went. We went right to the memo pad on the counter where Mom and Dad always leave us notes. Nothing. The pad was blank.
"We've got to find them," Josh cried.
He sounded very frightened. His wide eyes reflected his fear.
"We have to get away from here."
"What if something has happened to them?" That's what I started to say, but I caught myself just in time. I didn't want to scare Josh any more than he was already. Besides, he'd probably thought of that too.
"Should we call the police?"
he asked as we walked back to the living room and peered out the front window into the darkness.
I don't know, I said, pressing my hot forehead against the cool glass. I just don't know what to do. I want them to be home. I want them here so we can all leave.
What's your hurry? A girl's voice said from behind me.
Josh and I both cried out and spun around. Karen Somerset was standing in the center of the room, her arms crossed over her chest.
But you're dead, I blurted out. She smiled, a sad smile, a bitter smile.
And then two more kids stepped in from the hallway. One of them clicked off the lights.
Too bright in here, he said.
They moved next to Karen. Then another dead kid, Jerry Franklin, appeared by the fireplace, and I saw the girl with short black hair, the one I had seen on the stairs, move beside me by the curtains. They were all smiling, their eyes glowing dully in the dim light, all moving in on Josh and me.
What do you want? I screamed in a voice I didn't even recognize. What are you going to do?
We used to live in your house, Karen said softly.
Huh? I cried.
We used to live in your house,
George said.
And now, guess what?
Jerry added.
Now we're dead in your house.
The others started to laugh, crackling, dry laughs, as they all closed in on Josh and me.